Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, November the 5th. And our top story today, and the most read on the website, is that residents in Whitstable have been left outraged after the council decided to lock the gates of a playing field earmarked for development. Now, padlocks have appeared on the entrances of the Church Street playing field site, which has been open to the public for generations. Well, Lucy has been following this story for the Kent Online podcast and is with me now. Lucy, first of all, can you tell me a little bit about the proposed development of the site then?
Yes, well, the council first announced plans to build an SEN school on the park in Church Street last year. It would be called Whitstable Free School and cater for 120 children with special educational needs. But it was met with opposition from residents who agreed a new school is needed but say there are better places it could be built. They described the fields as a priceless community resource and petitioned KCC to grant the park village green status, which in effect would prevent building on the land.
And I understand a lot of people feel this latest move to lock the gates is in response to that backlash. What's the council's response to the closure?
Well, council bosses say they've been forced to close off the field on safety grounds. There was no official notice or consultation. KCC says it took action to avoid the possibility of a member of the public walking through the site and being subject to an assault. They go on to say there are a number of bushes and tree screens around the site within which an assailant could easily hide, and the remnants of a tent have been found on the site. There are also concerns the field is being misused by local residents as a cut-through.
But locals have rejected these reasons and say it's about securing the land for the school.
That's right. Residents have described it as a slap in the face. Police were not consulted about the plans to lock the gates in the interest of public safety. There have even been suggestions it's an underhanded move from the council to make sure the land is used as little as possible so they can throw out the application for village green status.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today, and a Kent police officer who lied to the Met to avoid speeding charges has been banned from serving in the Kent Force. Former PC Thomas Joshua Smith, who was based at Cold Harbour, was convicted in July this year of perverting the course of justice. Now, he had refused to confirm he was the driver when his car was caught speeding on the A20 on three occasions in January. Figures seen by the Kent Online podcast, meantime, show seven police officers in Kent have been sacked and barred from returning to their job in the last 12 months. That's down from nine the previous year. Nationally, nearly 600 officers were dismissed, which is a 50% rise. Dishonesty was the most common reason, followed by sexual misconduct. A Kent dad who stalked his ex-girlfriend and sent her offensive messages after they broke up has been jailed. Orwin Tutiet caused serious alarm or distress to his victim over the course of 8 months and continued to harass her even after he was arrested. The 47-year-old from Station Hill in East Farley has been locked up for 15 months. And a woman's been arrested on suspicion of drug driving in Ashford. She was stopped outside the Norton Natchball School in Hythe Road on Saturday evening. Police also seized cannabis. A 28-year-old has been released on bail. Now, as Americans cast their vote in the presidential election, we're being reminded how the outcome could have a real impact here in Kent. Dr. Andrew Rowe is a senior lecturer in American politics at the University of Kent, and he's been speaking to Kate.
If Donald Trump wins the election, NATO is in danger. He tried to pull out of NATO in his previous administration, but was persuaded against it by his advisors. Many of those sort of advisors, many of those grown-ups, as they've been called, are now gone. And there's probably less constraints on him. Even if he doesn't pull out of NATO, a dormant United States would fundamentally undermine NATO. Would that encourage Putin potentially to launch an attack on a NATO state? You know, we just don't know how other leaders around the world are going to react to a Trump presidency. It's very difficult to predict, but some, like Putin, might try and take advantage of that. Also, we need to think about the economic effects of a Trump presidency. Trump's sort of signature economic policy is to introduce tariffs on trade. He's talking about tariffs of between 10 and 20% on all imports into the United States and up to 60% on Chinese imports. The United States is the UK's biggest trade partner. Europe as a whole is it represents 50% of our trade, but in terms of like country-specific trade, the US is our biggest trading partner. This will fundamentally affect UK exports to the US. We could probably expect retaliatory tariffs by other countries and potentially a trade war. Most economists think that this would be hugely problematic for world trade and for the wealth of Western nations.
Now, I know from the last US presidential election, I suppose it comes up every time there's an election in the US, people get confused about how the system works, how the voting system works. It's very different to here in the UK. So as the results do start to come in next week, what's something that we should bear in mind about the electoral system?
Well, the most important thing to recognise is that Americans don't vote directly for a presidential candidate. They use this strange institution called the Electoral College. So the electoral system is basically a state-by-state vote. And we know that the majority of states are safe. We know that Kamala's going to win them or Donald Trump's going to win them. They're sort of in the bag for both candidates. But there's about six or seven states, which we call swing states. And the polls are suggesting that either candidate could win those seven swing states. They will determine the outcome of this election. The polls are showing that neither candidate can be confident about winning any of those seven. They will determine the outcome of this election. Which way they go, we do not know.
And I suppose, could you say that the American people at the moment, they have quite a lot on their shoulders, because as you said, it's quite a tense point in history in terms of global politics, and their decisions could really swing the world one way or the other.
Yeah, it is remarkable that, you know, the decisions of a few million people in these key swing states will affect the rest of the world. We don't have a vote in this presidential election, but this presidential is going to affect the lives of hundreds of millions, even billions of people around the world. It really matters.
Now, if voting between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris remains tight, experts say it could be days or even weeks until we know the result.
Kent Online reports.
A man and woman have been rescued after getting into difficulty in the sea off Folkestone Harbour. A Coast Guard had to dive into the water after a boat that was being rowed out to a moored vessel started sinking. The people were looked after by paramedics. New data it's revealed the rising cost of providing education for special needs children in Kent. There are more than 1,600 pupils who are being sent to a private or independent school by the County Council. That costs nearly £50,000 a year for each student, more than twice as much as a special school place. Now, there are fears people will miss vital hospital appointments or become isolated due to planned cuts to bus services in Dover. Timetable changes are due to come into force on November the 17th, and we'll see the reduced frequency of some stagecoach services, while other routes will have a different stopping pattern. Now, the podcast has been told it'll impact patients and visitors heading to Buckland Hospital, and there'll be no more direct journeys from Dover to Romney Marsh. Well, Keith Sampson is the coordinator of the Save Our Buses campaign, and he's been speaking to our reporter, Sam Lennon.
Our belief is that buses should be run for the public. At the moment, they're not being. So we're seeing today the 61, 64 being cut back. Now, once we can campaign against that, what we really need to see is it running in the interest of the public and not for private shareholders up in Perth.
Right. And have any anecdotes as to how people are going to be affected with the loss of the 64, which goes through River and the hospital?
Absolutely. So just taking the hospital as one. I mean, going from like what it is now, 20, 30 minutes an hour to 1 hour. Imagine that, if you've got an appointment at a hospital, you've got cancer, and you've got to wait for an hour for a bus. It's horrific. You know, you've got to think about these people, whether they be young, whether they be infirm, whether they be senior. At the end of the day, a bus service is supposed to be for the public.
Sean Spillane is also part of the campaign and told Sam they've taken the fight to the council.
The way stagecoach are operating at the moment, it's purely for profit. They don't care about anybody or how they get about or what difficulty they experience. And we've actually spoken to Joel Mitchell, the managing director, about this. And we asked them for figures, like, you know, to back up their statements that buses are not being used as much as they would like them to be used. And they refused to give us the figures. They stated competition law and data protection, that, etc. But if you take my bus route, the 74, 50,000 people use that every year. And Stagecoach stopped it. So now Kent County Council are running it. And we went from a 70-hour a week, Monday to Saturday, to a 25-hour a week, Monday to Friday.
74 service. Goes from where to where?
That goes from Downs Road to Bromead. That's the in Folkestone.
Downs Road to?
To Bromead in Folkestone.
Okay, Bromead.
Yeah, but basically what they're saying is that 50,000 people are not enough. And they're always moaning. The biggest moan they've got is the concessionary passes, like our bus passes. They say they are not getting enough money off of the government. They say they're only making £1. So we've been on to our MP, Tony Vaughan. He said, you know, can you look into this and tell us exactly how much they are getting? Is there any possible they can increase it?
Well, Dover MP Mike Tapp has also got involved. We're told he met with bus operator Stagecoach on Monday and says he made it clear that the cuts are not acceptable. We have had a statement through from Stagecoach. This is what it says. We've looked really carefully at the 64 service. Sadly, the number of passengers using the buses between town and river is very small and does not support the cost of providing two buses an hour. By changing the frequency, we're able to keep the service going because we know it provides an important link for people locally. We can share your thoughts. Perhaps you live in Dover or you have relatives who live there and use that bus service. You can let us know what you think by leaving a comment on the story or heading to our socials.
Kent Online reports.
The former landlord of a pub in Canterbury is among those criticising plans to turn it into a day house for private school pupils. The Jolly Sailor in Northgate closed in 2018 and was bought by the King's School, who want to convert it into a study centre and common room. The Campaign for Real Ale are calling for the planning application to be refused. We've got some politics news for you now, and the Sevenoaks MP has criticised a decision by the government to increase university tuition fees in England.
Students haven't had a chance to prepare for this rise. They will have fairly expected, based on all the statements above, that the last thing a Labour government would do in office is put up tuition fees.
That's Laura Trott, who was speaking on her very first day as Shadow Education Secretary. Now, fees will rise by nearly £300 a year in line with inflation. The move, however, has been welcomed by the University of Kent, which says it'll help them continue to invest in students' experience and outcomes. Staying with politics news, and the new Labour MP for Ashford says it was his time working in the NHS that pushed him into politics. Sojan Joseph was a ward manager at St Martin's Hospital in Canterbury. Now, he's been on the latest episode of the Kent Politics podcast and says they were struggling to find beds for patients.
I really enjoyed working in the NHS. And when I was back in, I think it was in 2015, when I was a ward manager in St Martin's Hospital, Canterbury. So you have, every day you meet patients and families. So we were really struggling at that point. We couldn't find bed for mental health patients. People were waiting for weeks and weeks when they're going through the most challenging time. And I don't know if you remember, we used to find bed for Kent patients in Manchester and Birmingham and places like that. So the NHS was going down. We were struggling to recruit nurses. Because it was no longer an attractive profession for people. And this all started when the Conservative government brought in the austerity and cutting budget for the NHS. So I decided that, you know, you as a ward manager had a limited influence on how the services are provided. And I thought I need to raise this where the decisions are made, and that's how I ended up joining the politics. And so I know you mentioned very new in politics, but I was I joined the Labour Party in 2015, even though I was not quite active till 2020 with the local party.
If you missed that episode, you can catch up by heading to the podcast page of Kent Online, or indeed going to im-listening.co.uk.
Kent Online News.
This is one of our most read stories on the site today. There are plans to convert a 150-year-old church in Deal into housing. The former community church on the corner of Victoria Road and Stanley Road dates back to 1881, but has fallen into disrepair. Developers have been given permission to create an 8-bedroom home and turn the old Sunday school building into a separate 5-bedroom property. You can head to the website today to see pictures. Elsewhere, there are plans to create one of the country's biggest energy storage facilities on land near Dartford. If approved, the site next to the A2 at Southfleet could hold enough power for hundreds of thousands of homes. Some residents have described it as an inappropriate development in the Greenbelt. Now, there's an urgent call to make our gardens more wildlife friendly amid concerns for Kent's hedgehogs. Across the country, would you believe, numbers have dropped by 75% in rural areas since the year 2000. Well, Lisa Stewart runs Thorn Hedgehog Rescue in Pluckley near Ashford.
Not only have several rescues, larger rescues, 5 across the county, closed in the last year or two, the demand for rescue spaces is also increasing as well. So those of us that are left are seeing much higher demand and much more hedgehogs needing rescuing.
And why do you think that is?
So people. The more people there are, the more habitat we use, the more people they're coming across, and the dangers that they're facing as a result of new housing estates being built, hedgerows being removed, agricultural fields being made larger, removing more hedgerows, the use of pesticides, more roads for them to cross, and also climate change is a big one that many don't hibernate anymore. Food availability is becoming scarcer for them. Not only is the species declining at a massive rate, there's estimations that hedgehogs could be extinct by as soon as 2050. The hazards that they're facing because of population growth means that the ones that are still left are facing more threats than ever before and needing help to be able to survive.
I was wondering, as a rescue, what would you like to see? What do you think needs to be done to kind of support organisations and hedgehogs in the county every single day?
Again, I'd like to see more awareness of hedgehogs. We're very good as at human beings at being very tidy now. We patio our gardens, we have beautiful gardens made, we put up our fences. So just this idea of everything not having to be quite so clean and tidy to enable not just hedgehogs but other species to still have space within our gardens. And it doesn't take a lot, planting a corner of wildflowers, leaving a pile of leaves in at the bottom of the garden, leaving some logs lying around, having hedgehog highways to allow movement, especially with new builds. A lot of brick walled gardens, hedgehogs travel incredible distances of a night, of up to 1 to 2 miles, and they need that connectivity between gardens to be able to forage and get the amount of food and find the food that they need.
You can head to the website today to see what's happened to Mothercare stores in Kent 5 years after the retailer went into administration. At its peak, it had more than 130 branches across the UK, including in 10 towns here in the county. But dozens of stores closed in 2018 before administrators were called in 18 months later. The former Mothercare in Ashford is now a JD Sports. However, the one in Canterbury remains empty. You can find out what's happened to the ones where you live by heading to Kent Online. And Strictly bosses have confirmed Amy Dowden won't be returning to Dance with Kent's JB Gill. She suffered a foot injury and needs to recover. The JLS star, who owns a farm here in the county, will continue the rest of the series with stand-in partner Lauren Oakley.
Kent Online Sports.
Football and former Gillingham player Nicky Southall has left his job as manager of Lordswood. He's been in the role since last December and was hoping to push the side to promotion, but they've had a poor run of form in the Southern Counties East Premier Division. And a Kent goalkeeper has gone viral after pulling off an amazing save despite being tangled up in the net. Frankie Leonard, who plays for Bearsted, managed to stop an attempt even though his left foot was trapped at the time. Well, Bearsted went on to win the game 1-0. We've shared the footage on socials, or head to the sports pages to see it for yourself. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can, of course, follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. Have a great time if you're heading out to any fireworks events in Kent. Our KMFM breakfast presenters, Gary and Chelsea, will be at the cricket ground in Canterbury. And we'll be back with the podcast tomorrow.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.